Todd Pilkington here in the studio of Bible Students Radio, broadcasting today about the good news of the happy God.
Do you know who you are? I mean, do you know who you really are? Some people may respond to a question like this by giving an answer related to what they do, or maybe based on their human relationships. For example, somebody may give answers related to who they are by saying, well, I'm a carpenter or a housewife. I'm a student, a secretary. I'm a salesman. I'm a foreman. Others may give answers related to their human relationships. I'm a mother. I'm a father. I'm a wife. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm a husband. Now, these answers aren't wrong. There is some sense in which they represent a part of who you are. But these do not ultimately represent the real you, who you really are. They're just not your true identity. If these represent the way that you look at yourself, what happens if your life changes? The circumstances of life are far from being stable. They can change in a moment, sometimes drastically, and sometimes permanently. If you see your core identity in the frailty of what you do, or in the changing human relationships, then your identity is always subject to change. How fragile such earthly identities are. Yet, who are you really? Are you really constantly changing and your identity always up to be changed or subject to be changed at any time? Who are you really? Before you can answer such a question as this, you need to think about some scriptural terms to help you direct your thinking of just who you are and what your true identity is. Here's a list of some things that we can find from the letters of Paul that describe who you are. You're accepted, adopted, alive, an ambassador, ascended, beloved, blameless, blessed, bought, buried, called, chosen, crucified, circumcised, in Christ. You're complete, you're dead, you're delivered, you're elect, you're a fellow citizen, you're foreknown, you're free, you're glorified, you're a part of his body, you're his temple, you're his workmanship, you're holy, you're in fellowship, you're indwelt by him, you're a joint heir or a co-possessor, you're justified, you're a new creation, predestinated, reconciled, redeemed, rich, righteous, risen, sanctified, saved, sealed, a son of God, translated, triumphant, and victorious. Wow, what a list of things that we are. There is this common mistake that is made when it comes to seeing ourselves as who we really are. It's a religious teaching that we might call the filter. Here's how this teaching goes. God is holy and you're a sinner. For God to have any relationship with you, or even look at you, he must place a filter between you and himself. This filter is Jesus Christ. After the filter's in place, when God looks at you, he doesn't really see you anymore. Instead, he sees you through this filter, so that what he really sees is Christ. God sees his Son and his record of righteousness, not you as the sinner and your record of unrighteousness. Now, what would happen if this filter were removed? What would God see then? Well, he'd see the real you. I mean, the you that you truly are. The sinner. In other words, this filter leaves you unchanged. You're still just a sinner. That's who you are, or at least according to this filter doctrine. Little wonder that so many seek to find their identification elsewhere, for this understanding does nothing about one's true identity. Here is one of religion's tragic flaws. that you only receive something, like righteousness, instead of becoming something, like righteous. There's a vast difference between having righteousness and being righteous. Notice what the Scriptures has to say about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." This passage does not say that we might have the righteousness of God. Instead, it says that we might be made the righteousness of God. Oh, the magnitude of such a distinction. To be righteous is to be holy. And you are holy, not because of your actions, not because of anything you do, but because God has made you holy. God says that you're holy. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "The elect of God, holy and beloved." 1 Thessalonians 5, 27, "All the holy brothers." 1 Corinthians 3, 17, "That you're the temple of God, which is holy," which temple you are. You know, to be holy is to be a saint. And you're a saint because God says that you are. The tragedy of this filter doctrine of the religious system is that it expresses this old familiar adage, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." A sinner is not who you are anymore. This does not mean that you don't sin. It just means that's no longer your true identity. Your true identity is this: you are a saint. Sinner was your former identity in Adam. Notice how Paul speaks of it in the past tense. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now instead of calling you by your former identity, God calls you by your new identity, a saint. Read through Paul's epistles and notice how many times this word appears. The fact is that you are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. "Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." This brings me back to my original question. Who are you, really? Simply put, you are who God says you are. That's who you really are. You're not just a father or a mother, or a son or a daughter, or a salesperson or a student. You're the righteous Son of God. You're holy, you're a saint, you're a new creature. This is your new identity. Your former identity wouldn't work in a relationship with God, so it's died with Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's passed away. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You're not God's rehabilitation project, some remodeling work that he's doing. You're not God's fixer-upper, a sort of divine handyman special. No, you're God's new creation, a member of a new species, divine species, that one new man, that one new humanity, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. No matter what happens in life, your failures, your mistakes, your sins, that is, missing the mark, it doesn't change who you are. You can be the real you every day in every situation. No need to pretend or act like you're something else or someone else. You can be who God made you to be. Religion teaches people to put on a face, put on an act, put on a show. Stop struggling with your former identity. You are called to bask in your true identity in the one that God has given you, the true you. Enjoy that. Live in that. Rest in that. Who God has made you to be. Even when you fall, you'll know exactly where you stand with God. Now, a little music for your edification and enjoyment. Here's Harper's Carol singing, I Know Where I Stand.
Just like an actor, unsure of my lines, I live my life for other people, one lie at a time. Was desperate for approval, always trying to look good, was never sure of who I was or where I stood. Until you came into my heart and exposed me with your light. Till you touched me with your love and you healed me with your life. Now I know where I stand. I'm strong and secure. I finally know who I am. I'm myself and I'm yours. And I stand. So good to be real now, to know and be known. I'm resting in your perfect love. Now my heart is finally home, completely forgiven of all that I've done. So now I'm living my life for an audience of one. I'm finally sure of who. Sure, who I'm not. The insecurities there.